Greet each one in Christ's precious name this morning. It's good to be here and worship together. I really enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, and I guess it kind of went with what I had been studying this week and thinking about. And, sometimes sanctification can be a hard subject and something we sometimes shy away from, and that's not even totally what I was studying, but as I was thinking about that, it went along well with what I have. And you can turn to Romans 1 verse 7 is where we're going to start. This week, Monday morning, I believe it was, I decided I was going to go through Romans, and verse 7 stood out to me and got me thinking, and that's what I want to base my sermon out of this morning. Verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm going to title my sermon, "Called to be Saints," this morning. And as I read that, I don't know, it just really stood out to me. And I got to thinking about that this week, and I read a lot of different things and studied it, and it's a calling. We're called to be something there, called to be saints. And as I thought about that, I thought there's something more. What does saints mean? As you look it up in 1 Corinthians as another, we'll quickly look at that verse, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Again, that calling, called to be saints. If you look up saints in the Greek, it has the same root, and I failed to write the word down. I probably couldn't say it anyhow properly, but it has the same root as sanctification, holiness, dedication, consecration, pure, blameless, clean, it said. As I thought about that, that's the definition of saints. That's what we need to be. And, there's a lot of churches that use the word saints in their name. There's a lot of times we don't use that word very commonly, I would say. You don't hear it a lot, but we know what it is, and it's a fairly common word to us. But as I thought about that, do I know what it is to be a saint for God, for Christ? Is my life a testimony of what a saint is or should be? And, you think about it coming from that Greek word that meant to be sanctified, to be holy, dedicated, consecrated, pure, blameless, clean. That's a high calling. That's a change from what, can I say, we're born with. Something different than what comes naturally and easily. And I want to look at a couple different of, I'm not going to look at all of these, but to be a saint is what we're called to be. We need to understand what we're called to be then. And I'm going to look at, I want us to understand some of these words. Sanctification, I'm not saying that I totally understand it. But we need to be sanctified in Christ. Let's look at the verse there, 1 Corinthians 1 again. Verse 2, "Under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." What does that mean to be sanctified? And sanctification has a thought of being set apart, to be made something different. And take that from John, if you want to quickly turn there, John chapter 17. Verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And jump down to verse 19, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Set apart to do God's will, to do the will of God, to make holy, to be led by God. As we look at these verses there, first of all, what does the sanctification there in verse 17? It's God's word. It's truth, he says, but he says, "Thy word is truth." If I want to change myself, I need to do something about it. And as we talked about earlier, it's not a thing of I can do something now and right away I'm sanctified. It's allowing God to do it. It's allowing God to speak to me. And as I do if I want God to speak to me, I need to dig into how he speaks. And God speaks through his word. And you know, I think that's a key to being sanctified, to being a saint, is digging into God's word this morning. And I guess that's what I felt very convicted this week as I thought about that, because you know, in the morning we get up, and for me anyhow, you sit down and you want to study, and that's my goal, you know. And yet it's so easy, we get wrapped up, and there's so many things that can take my attention. Well, you know, whatever it is, it takes away from that time that I spend in God's word. And as I thought about that, if I want to be sanctified, if I want to be a saint, I need to dig into God's word more. And I believe that's something that we all probably could say, but it's easy to realize that, but do I actually do something about it? Do I do something that makes it easier? Turn to 1 Peter 3, and I have a lot of verses this morning that I want to look at. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set apart. Set apart a time that you can spend time with God. Because if I want God to fill my heart, I need to spend time with him. I need to fill myself with his word. And I'm not going to go deeper into that because I have a lot more I want to cover. And I believe sanctification is that we could spend a whole sermon on that. But do I set my time apart for God? Do I set time in my life that I spend in God's word and in his asking him to show me his will? And if we look at Romans 8, verse 14, we don't need to turn there, but it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that has a thought again of what I want to portray as being sanctified, being set apart. If we allow God to work through us, to lead us, and God leads us with his Holy Spirit, and he speaks to us but through his Holy Spirit. And as you think about that, that verse that I just quoted there, read, are we led by the Spirit of God? This morning, what drives me? What moves me? What makes me, helps me make the choices that I make? Is it God's Spirit moving through me, or is it my own will and desires that direct me and make me do the things I do? And to stay as God's Son, we will be led continually by him and by his Holy Spirit. If we maybe we should take the time and read, let's turn to Romans 8, actually. I wasn't going to, but I want to look at a couple verses there. We'll start reading at verse 13 of chapter 8. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. I wanted to take out of these verses the thought of being changed to being, again, it goes with sanctification, but verse 13 there, it talks about allowing God, allowing his Spirit to direct us. To mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as you think about being a saint, I believe that has the same meaning as being a child of God, being a son or a daughter of God. And as you think of how a father as parents, as they work with their children, you know, as you start with a young child, you need to teach them what no means and what yes means and all of that. And it doesn't take long, and soon all you have to do sometimes is look at them and they realize what dad or mom is thinking, what they feel about a situation. And as you think about that, as I follow God, as I allow Him to work in my life, soon it becomes, we understand what God wants us to do, because we know, as we look into His Word, it isn't like, sometimes, yes, we want an answer from God, but we know what God's answer is sometimes. And it's the same with our children. As we teach them, as they look to us, they want knowledge and they gain that knowledge. And it's the same in our Christian life, I believe. God's Spirit moves and directs. It sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It divides right from wrong in our own lives and in everything. First, in Philippians, if you want to turn there, you know, again, chapter 2, I'm going to look at, well, let's just go to verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's back up. I want to start reading at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. And I want to take from that thought, it's God's work again. As we were talking in our Sunday school lesson, it's not our own work, it's a work of God that needs this sanctification takes. It's not something I can do. No, we all tend to feel that we need to do something to make this work. Salvation doesn't seem complete unless I need to, you know, we're a people of works. We want to do things because that's how life is usually. God says, I want to do it. God says, I want to heal you. I want to clean you. I want to make you something different. And all He asks is for our permission. That's all He wants from us. He doesn't need a lot of things from us, but He needs our acceptance. He needs our willingness to be used by Him and to allow Him to change us. And as you think about that, that moves us on and think about another meaning that it said in the Greek was consecrated. And consecration is used as a verb usually when you think of that. And it's not something that just happens once where all of a sudden now we're different. We're changed. It's something that's continual. It's something that moves us, that we make choices every day and we need to decide. Am I consecrated to God? Am I a consecrated saint? It's a continual choice. And it has a thought of to make new or to renew. And think about your life without God and then think about what He did for you. He made you something different. He made you something better. He made you something new. And like we said earlier, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant. Every day I need to get up. I need to ask God to direct me today, to lead me, to make me something better than what I am. And if we go to Hebrews, we'll take a couple of verses from Hebrews first. We'll look at chapter 10, I guess, again. And look at verse 19. We'll start there anyhow. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The thought I wanted to take out of that is our hearts changed, our hearts washed, purified, consecrated. And that's a key to being a saint. It's something different. It's something set apart. It's allowing God to wash me, to purify my heart, to make me something new. And that last verse there, 22, that we read, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, sometimes we, maybe some of us struggle with where we're at with God. Sometimes some people struggle with knowing if am I truly saved? Am I truly forgiven for things? And this morning, how you know that is as you draw near to God and you feel His peace, His joy fill you. As you feel Him make you something different. And yes, sometimes we need to stop and we need to look. Am I where God wants me to be? Have I allowed God to take me through the doors that He provides? And yes, sometimes He wants to take steps in faith. But do I allow God to sanctify me? Do I consecrate myself to His will? Because His will is something that, as we try to read it in life, do I choose that? And it has the thought of being pure also. When you think of consecration to God, consecrated to God and His will, it takes purity. And we talked about that also in our Sunday school lesson. But Matthew 5:8, a common verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that was just the first one that came to my, just because we've memorized them from little on up. But do we know what it is to be pure in heart? You know, it's easy to say, to read that, but purity touches every part of me. It touches every thought, every action, everything that I face, everything that I do. Does that come from a pure conscience, from a pure motives? No, sometimes we say people can do something and yet they have another reason for doing that. As my brethren work with me, do they believe that my motives, my heart is pure? That I want them to also have a pure life? And it's an important thing because He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I don't believe that leaves room for anyone else to see God unless their heart is pure. A saint is called to be pure. There's no room for anything to darken that. If I know in my heart that there's something that just taints it a little bit, and we say it's a small thing, it's something that it would just be embarrassing to deal with it. Is your heart pure, actually? And that stood out to me as I thought about that. Is my heart pure? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I have a pure heart before God and before my brethren and sisters? Because as we work together as a church, as a brotherhood, we need purity in thought and action and deed. And it has a thought of being blameless, guiltless, unblemished for being pure, faultless. And let's turn to Philippians quick as we think about that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Blameless and harmless. Two things that we say we understand, we use them a lot. But first of all, think about being blameless. As people look at my life, think about David. I often think about him. God says he's a man after my own heart. He could go in and out before the people, the Bible says, and no one could find fault with him. As my brothers and sisters look at my life, can they find fault with me? And put your own name in there. Can they see something that would make them question my heart? And as they do that, as they see maybe a mixed signal, can it also turn them into where they do not know where they are with God? Or it turns them away from God. Does my life draw others to God, or does it turn them away? Harmless. The Bible says we're to be harmless as doves. And as you think about a dove, they're a quiet, beautiful, graceful bird to watch. And as you think about that, they really have a lot of enemies, but they're not a predator of any sort. Am I that way to my brethren and sisters? Am I that way to where, as I go about my life, the things that God calls me to do from day to day, then as I work with my brothers and sisters, they look at me as they, when I do a business deal or just whatever it is, you put it there, they know that there's no other motives behind it. There's no trap here that they need to wonder if Lyndon's going to do something. How is my relationship with my brethren? And as a saint of God, am I harmless? Am I blameless? And as you go through life and as you live above blame, as you live above rebuke and whatever it is, we shine as lights. It sticks out. Others see that. It draws them to God. No, it doesn't draw them to the individual, but I believe it should draw them and point them to Christ, because that is how we can be faultless. That's how we can be blameless. And that's how, as we shine brightly, it draws others to Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And as I read that verse there, right, I went to this verse, I guess, just thinking about that. But without spot and blameless, again, what is my life like? What is my heart like? What is my relationship with my brothers and sisters like? Is there things that taint it, that mar it, that make it hard for others even in their journey? We are... It's not something that often comes easy. It takes diligence there, it says in that verse. And it takes applying myself. It takes a constant sanctifying my heart before God, being changed, being pure. And that takes us on, I believe, to another thing that it, root of being a saint is holiness, or holy, it said. Let's look at Romans 11 quickly. There's a verse 16 there. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. So I read that verse. I guess I wanted to just take out of that what I feed on is what comes out of me. You think of a tree, plant, whatever it is, what it takes up into it, that's what its fruit will be. And it says there in verse, at the end of verse 16, if the root be holy, so are the branches. As I thought about that, I guess that really stood out to me to think about that. What I feed on is what comes out of me. If I'm feeding on holiness, if I'm feeding on God's word, that's what comes out. Is it maybe my fault at times when something else comes out? What am I feeding on? Do I stop to think, what made me say that? What made me do that? Why did I react in that way? What are you feeding on? What am I feeding on that would have made that? And yes, we are human. We make mistakes. But what the roots take in, the branches have on them. As I thought about that, I guess that really stood out to me. It says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. We can expect whatever we take in to come out of us. And though, I just give that as a caution. What do you take in? What do you allow yourself to feed on? There's many things out there that, and there's good things too, to read and to study and all that. But do I feed on God's word? Because if I do, his holiness will come out of me. We will be a holy saint. 1 Peter 1, start reading at verse 13, and again we're thinking of the holy life here. Verse 13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace. Stop there for a little bit. The loins of your mind, what is that? What is it? I believe that has a thought of controlling my thoughts, controlling what I allow myself to think, controlling what I allow to come in, because as you go from day to day, those things will keep going through your mind. He says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Still thinking about holiness here, be holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God. We serve a God that does not allow any unholiness. And holiness has a thought, as you study, it has a thought of purity, to be consecrated, to be committed also. And as you think about that, girding up the loins of your mind, that really stood out to me. And Ephesians chapter 6 goes along with that, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And as you think about that, to have our mind, as we read there in this First Peter, gird about the loins of your mind. It means protecting your mind. It means putting things in there that matter. Am I willing to do, to apply myself so that my thoughts are pure, so that they're holy, so that they are wholesome? I believe what we fill our mind with, that's what comes out of us. And if we fill our minds with truth and don't leave it open for, well, if we fill our minds with truth, I believe we leave it less likely that there will be temptation. We don't open the door for temptation when it's full of something good. And I want to just encourage us all as we go through life, we are tempted at times with whatever it is. Fill your mind with holiness. Fill your mind with God's word. Temptation cannot get a foothold. It can't open those doors then. Romans 13, if we look at these verses, has a thought of filling ourselves with God's holiness. And we'll start reading at we'll just read the last two verses there. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Walking honestly, filling myself with God's word, filling myself with his deeds, with the things that he asks us to do. We need to fill ourselves with God's holiness. The Lord is holy. We read those verses earlier. Be ye holy, for I am holy. As you think about that, that's a high calling. I felt very convicted as I studied this and thought about that. As I serve a holy God. I serve a God that demands purity in everything we do or say. What comes out of me shows, I believe, what I'm feeding on. What am I allowing myself to believe about God? What comes out of me shows what I actually think of God and how I allow him to relate to me. If we fill our minds, our hearts with God's holiness, we don't leave room for the flesh to have to affect us, to come out of us, because if we're filled with God's holiness, there's no room for the flesh. Ephesians 1, quickly, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Another verse I just want to take to bring out the thought of being holy and without blame. Again, I know I've talked about it lots here and pushed that, but I believe it is a very key to being a saint for God, to being thought of being called to be saints. Do I know what it is to be pure and holy? Am I living above blame? Am I living so that my brethren and sisters, as they look at my life, as they look at your life, what do they see? Do they see purity? Do they see holiness? Do they see where there's, maybe are we sending mixed signals? We need each other. We need each other to come. I want you as brethren to be, feel free to talk to me. And can we do that in an upbuilding way? In a way that causes us to look in and see? Or do I see when someone comes to me right away where my walls go up because I don't want to hear them. I don't want them to touch something that's going to hurt in my life. And as you think about that, called to be a saint, and no, that's not just for a chosen certain group or people or whatever it is. We're all, if we're followers of God, we're called to be saints. We're called to be sanctified. We're called to be pure. We're called to be holy. We're called to be different, to stand out in this world. And I think right now the world is watching us more than we realize. And especially in these times here, just visiting with neighbors and stuff, they see our lives. They see the choices we make. And yes, they sometimes question us why we do things or why we still maybe meet as a church. Can we give them an answer? Can they understand why it's necessary to do that? Or is it something that we're willing to quietly lay down because we're the quiet of the land? 1 Peter 1. I'm going to close with these last verses starting at verse 13. But as we read these verses, think about that. And my Bible says that above that it says an appeal for a holy life. And we read some of these earlier. But let's start reading verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Stop there for a minute. Verse 18, 19. To be redeemed by God is not something that we can take as an inheritance, it says there. As tradition, it's something that Mennonites are blamed for a lot of tradition, but salvation isn't tradition. Salvation, being a Mennonite might be, but being a Christian is not a tradition. Being a Christian is being redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that's a choice that you and I make. And yes, people can say whatever they want about you or the church, but a church that is redeemed by the blood of Christ is a beautiful picture. It's a lamb without blemish and without spot there. Go verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, purity, having a heart that shows love for our brethren and sisters. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And that word fervently stood out to me as I read that. It's a fervent has the action or the thought of putting emphasis on, to apply myself. If I do something fervently, I put my all into it. Am I willing to do whatever it takes so that my brothers and sisters are drawn together in love? Do they feel the love coming from me? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I wanted to close with these verses. I read them, it just... the appeal for a holy life. It's not something that I'm asking of you. It's something that God demands of us. God demands holiness. He demands purity. He wants us to be consecrated. And like we said, it's used as a verb when it's used in the word saint. And it's a saint of action. It's a saint that applies itself. It's a person that applies himself. This morning, you know where you are with God. You know if you can truly call yourself a saint. You are called by God to be a saint, and are you living the way God has portrayed, as he has set up? And we have the perfect example as we look at Christ's life. Christ lived the way a saint needs to live. And you and I are called to be saints. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. It takes effort, but it's rewarding. God blesses us as we live in that way, as we sanctify our hearts and minds, as we live blameless with our brethren and sisters. God blesses them. And oh, that each one of us could be like David as we go out, a man after God's own heart. That's something that I hope God could see and say about my life. And we all want that, to be a man after God's own heart, to go out before our brethren and sisters and they cannot find no fault. And if they find fault with us, are willing to accept that and to change, do whatever it takes to be sanctified, to be a saint. Let's go through our week and be saints for God. We'll have a song.